Open your King James Bible today, please, to 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 11 for our study number 102. This 15-minute Bible audio commentary is titled 1 Timothy Study 102-Glorious Holiness. Our text is 1 Timothy chapter number 1 verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Our Father, as we bow in your presence right now, we ask that the divine wisdom of God, Lord, touch our mind, that we might think correctly, and we might speak correctly, and might glorify you. Touch those who are listening. And I pray, God, you give them understanding of what we need to say today. Lord, may they learn from the Word of God and strengthen and encourage their hearts in the work that they have to do. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now this will be study number 102, and it will be the fourth study on verse 11 of the first chapter of 1 Timothy. This will be the third study on the word glorious found in this verse. This is also part of the first statement of the two statements found in this verse 11. We will repeat some information that we gave you in our last studies as a foundation and a review for this lesson. The word glorious is mentioned 44 times in the Bible. The word glorious means magnificent, wonderful, splendid, celebrated, or superb. We will mention and point out a few Bible references to this word in this study. We trust it will be a blessing. Now in our last study, we mentioned the words glorious hands used in the Old Testament. We will give you a listing of the glorious things we will be expounding on in our next lessons from the Old Testament. We will preach and teach on His glorious name, His glorious work, His glorious honor, His glorious majesty, His glorious voice, and His glorious arm in other studies to follow. We trust these will bless you as they bless me in studying them and digging them out. This study will be primarily on the glorious holiness of the Lord. God is glorious in holiness. Exodus chapter 15 verse 11 says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" Now these are the words that God has to say, and there's none to compare and nothing to compare to the glory and His holiness of our God. Now the word holiness means sanctity. It means godliness, saintliness, consecration, devotedness, devotion, or purity. The word holiness is mentioned 30 times in the Old Testament and 13 times in the New Testament for a total of 43 times. It comes from the word holy, which is mentioned over 540 times in the Scriptures. To be glorious in holiness means that God is wonderful, magnificent, and splendid in godliness, in consecration, and in purity. Praise His name. Now, holiness is an attribute of God. An attribute is simply a characteristic, a feature, or what God is, or a description of God. God is holy, and it is demonstrated in His continual dealings through His holiness. Holiness is the fruit of being holy. Holy means sacred, hallowed, sanctified, divine, righteous, or pure. We're not holy, and the only way we can be holy is for God to make us holy by placing holiness inside us. We are born unholy. We can make ourselves more holy in our own eyes, but to be made holy is to have the divine touch of a holy God placed upon our hearts for us to become holy. Holiness is not something we can purchase or earn. It must be imparted to you and to me from a holy God. We are to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, as the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16:29. God said, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. To worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness is to give God the glory that is due unto His name. We deserve no glory in anything, and He's worthy of all glory in everything. Psalms 29 in verse number 2 says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Our human minds can't comprehend what real divine holiness really is. To the flesh, being holy is doing holy things and pursuing righteous deeds. But we can pursue righteous deeds and still not be holy, as God defines holy from His Word. Holiness is something that has to be imparted from a holy God to the heart of an unholy man in order for man to become holy. Holiness stems from and has its source from God Almighty and Him alone. Hallelujah and amen. The Scriptures tell us where holiness reigns. And He says in Psalms 47 in verse 8, God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of His holiness. The throne of God is the seat of holiness. God not only has an attribute or characteristic of holiness, but the Bible says He is holy. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, God said, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. As His children, God does not give us an option to be holy, but a command to be holy. It's important that we understand this. To disobey that command is a sin, because sin is a transgression or the breaking of the law of God. We as God's people do not realize the responsibility and the necessity of being holy and walking in holiness. We need to wake up and see what God wants, and we need to be holy. God said for us to be holy. The term or phrase, beauty of holiness, is mentioned 4 times in the Scriptures. We find a description of what this term means in 2 Chronicles, chapter number 20 and verse number 21. God said, and when He had consulted with the people, He appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. To worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness means to sing, to praise, and to glorify the name of the Lord. It means to exalt and to magnify Him when we come together in an assembly or a church service or a meeting. We're not to be dead. We're not to be dull. We're not to be dry or despondent. But we're to be given thanks and praise for His majesty, His might, and His mannerisms. Thanks be unto God that we have a holy God that we can exalt and magnify and lift up. Amen and amen. Worship is not to lift ourselves, but to lift Him who has purchased and redeemed us and our soul from the very pits of a devil's hell. Many think that we're to assemble ourselves and be quiet and dignified. I've had some to tell me that over the course of years. We're to sing praises that lift Him to the highest place in our souls. A dead, dry, dull service will do nothing to revive us from the deadness we get ourselves into. We get in spiritual ruts and can't seem to get anywhere or accomplish anything. We go on year after year getting colder and farther from God. Our spiritual coldness is such a gradual process many times that we do not know what we have lost until there's nothing left. A great multitude of people come to church on a regular basis trying to seek what they can get out of the service instead of what they can add to the service. They expect the choir and the special singers to bless and touch them in a mighty way. They expect something to take over their life and make them feel better for coming to the church. After all, they've worked hard getting ready and have given up a lot of things in order to be there. They expect a reward or at least something in exchange of all their sacrifice and trouble to be there. How silly, amen, that we can be. Now, worship is not about you and I. It's about the Lord. We come to the house of God to magnify Him and exalt Him because He is holy and because He is worthy. I say because He is worthy. When we give Him our best and exalt Him from our heart to the utmost place we can exalt Him in, brother, we will receive a touch in our hearts that no singing or giving praise will ever do. We find that God dwells in the mountain of holiness in Psalm 48, verses 1 and 2. Now we sing that song sometimes. The Psalms are songs. Psalm 48, verses 1 and 2 said, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness." Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Not only does God dwell in the mountain of holiness, but His courts are the courts of holiness, as is seen in Isaiah 62 and verse 9. "But they that have gathered it shall eat it, and praise the Lord. And they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness." His word is holy. His works are holy. His ways are holy. And His will is holy. His holiness is manifested in His love. His holiness is manifested in His grace. His holiness is manifested in His mercy. His holiness is manifested in His peace. And His holiness is manifested in His redemption. His holiness is proved in His dying on the cross, in His sacrificial shedding of His blood, and in the marvelous resurrection from the dead on the third day. Thank God for a holy God. His holiness is encouraging in His promises of preparing us a home in heaven and His coming back again to call us out of this sinful world of heartache and pain. His holiness is demonstrated in the everyday keeping of our souls with His mighty power. As sinners, we deserve to go to a devil's hell. But the holiness of God in His divine purity through His blood has kept us and is keeping us. And thank God will keep us until we reach His eternal presence in heaven when this life is over. Our holiness is based upon how consecrated, how dedicated, and how yielded we are to His will and His word through the Holy Spirit. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 7 and verse number 1, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." The closer we are to Him, the more holy we will become and the more holy we are. You can't be holy keeping a distance from God. We must walk hand in hand with the Lord, following His holy word and making it our lifestyle. Most people want to see how far they can get away from the Lord and still be holy. Our desire should be to get as close as we can to become like Him. We're commanded here to perfect holiness in the fear of God. A command from God is a command. It is the same as a demand. We have no choice if we want to please God except to work on becoming more holy day after day. Many of us work and desire to be better, but not many desire and work on trying to be holy. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people, and heaven is prepared for a holy people, and only God Himself can make us a holy people that will be able to go to a holy place. We all fall short of the holiness of God. There's room for much improvement in the lives of us all. Amen. Every one of us. Holiness is something that we have to work on. We can't become holy or more holy without the Lord God and His divine presence. Human flesh fears holiness and does not desire holiness. Human flesh can't accomplish what God wants for us to accomplish unless we have that holiness of God. His holiness is glorious and should be desired. God help us to become more holy as the days go by. May the world see the holiness of God in us. Amen. As men and women, God bless you today is my prayer. Amen.